Good morning and welcome to the Reloading Rag Chew, part of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Well, I gotta kick this off with an apology, guys. It's been way too long since the last episode. Got a lot of personal stuff going on. Work's been extremely busy. I just haven't had time. But at the same time, that's not an excuse. I know you guys have probably been missing some episodes, missing some stuff. And I think I've got to get back into this with a talk about news going on. In the short time that I've been off, there's been a lot of big things happening in the reloading industry and in the reloading groups out there. So let's kick it right off. First thing, big news, Freedom Munitions filed for bankruptcy. Most of you guys have probably, if you're on the reloading side, have definitely heard of them through their one of their child companies, which is Extreme Bullets. Very, very popular rounds for competition shooters and general purpose plinking. They kind of led the industry there for quite a long time and still do for plated bullets. Freedom Munitions was a ammo manufacturing company. They did everything from kind of new component premium ammunition to reloaded commercial reloads. So what does this mean? For one, I know a lot of people are nervous that, you know, if you're a diehard extreme bullet loader, you're nervous about this. Now, from the business side, we look at this. They're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. Now, for a lot of people, bankruptcy is kind of a four-letter word, and they look at it as when you go into bankruptcy, it means you're losing everything. In the business and in the personal world, that's not totally true. I've never been through bankruptcy, but plenty of people go into bankruptcy and come back out. In the business world, there are different kinds of bankruptcy. I don't know all of the different types. I'm definitely not a lawyer or an accountant, but Chapter 11 bankruptcy is frequently used by companies who are trying to restructure and eliminate certain kinds of debt. Basically, it's a warning that some of their debts may go unpaid. So I think what we're going to see, while Extreme Bullets has an extremely great reputation and a lot of people really like them, Freedom Munitions did not. Just locally, we had a guy that went to a Freedom Munitions sponsored regional match and decided, you know, hey, why don't I do this right, and bought their ammo for the match and then failed to make chrono. And when he approached them about it, they just kind of gave him the runaround on it. In addition, from the testing that I've seen, I never bought any of their stuff. It didn't appear to be that high quality versus the price. Some people saw very noticeable swings in velocity coming off of their ammo, to the point that several people even would remark that you could hear the difference round to round in some cases with their stuff. So I don't know what was causing it. I don't know if it was poor quality control. I don't know if they were using less than stable powders, if they were using cheap second components. I don't know what it was, but their quality in general was not good. So I think what we can all hope out of this is we obviously don't want to see Extreme go away. While there are great options out there, you know, personally, I prefer RMR's offerings over Extreme because you can get plated or jacketed, both for very good prices. We don't want to see them go away as a supplier. There are thousands and thousands of people who use their rounds every day for plinking, for competition, for just general reloads. We don't want to lose an industry partner like that. In addition, there's quite a few sponsored shooters by them, and I'd hate to see them, you know, all of a sudden out of a sponsorship after they've worked so hard to get there. So let's keep in mind, this is not Chapter 7, which I believe is typically the worst shutting down bankruptcy level. So I think what we're probably going to see is that Extreme will persevere. Now, what's going to come of it? Is it going to become its own company? Is it going to still be under Freedom Munitions and maybe they spin out the ammo manufacturing part of it? We don't know. But what we do know is, unlike Freedom Munitions, which I believe if you go to their website, I should probably try it here, is somewhat shutting down. Yeah, they're still up and going, but unlike their stuff, which is kind of starting to shut down, Extreme is still open. Extreme is still selling bullets. They are still shipping bullets. So I don't see that being affected now. I've seen posts from them on their Facebook page stating that they're going to continue operations. Well, they can't really say anything. That's one of the downsides of a company that's in this kind of situation. They're not going to be forthcoming and say, oh yeah, we're this is exactly what's happening. But they're still out there. They're still shipping product. That, you know, I wouldn't hesitate to buy their stuff. If you don't want to buy it from them just for whatever reason, I don't think it'll be a problem. But there are some resellers out there that buy their stuff in bulk and then resell it. So that's an option. So, like I said, it's not a great thing. I think of any of the parts of Freedom Munitions or Freedom Arms, what's going to survive will probably be Extreme. Whether other parts of it survive, whether other parts of it come back with a different view, Extreme, I think, has too much market share and is too popular for it to go away. Hopefully we won't see huge increases in the cost per projectile, but you never know. So, you know, pay attention to those guys. Obviously, when there's anything going on like this, you don't want to rush out there and, you know, buy a ton of them or something like that. You know, pay attention, watch on Facebook, watch on other, on MeWe, watch on other groups. Make sure that people are saying that they're still getting product from them. So that was number one. On the flip side, Remington came out of bankruptcy. As far as I understand, they got some aggressive loans from Bank of America, I think it was, that helped them out. That's another one that Remington makes some good stuff, but I do think over the years their quality control has gone fairly sharply downhill. You know, the Remington 700 used to be the gold standard of bolt-action rifles, and now you see foreign companies like Baraga, who are basically building a 700 with everything fixed, and are gaining market share. So I think Remington has an uphill battle to fix their quality control, and I think they need to fix their kind of innovation department. They haven't come out with anything that new in years at this point. They were late getting into the AR market. They tried to get into the 1911 market. And, you know, at that point, those markets are kind of flooded. So, but they are also a reloading component manufacturer and supplier. So again, you know, don't want to see them go away. Getting to another topic that's unfortunately on the top of everyone's head, Facebook. Facebook appears to be cracking down hard on the sale of reloading components. They'd kind of warned of this, they've done it in the past, and then they've waffled back and forth on it. What we've seen this time is numerous large groups have been shut down. In addition, some of the company pages have been shut down, which in the past they've kind of been a little bit immune to it. What we're seeing overall, without getting too political here, is an overall war on anything shooting-related. We've seen the banks go after companies to try and block them from taking payments if they're firearms-related. We've seen retailers, even ones that sell firearms, are pulling certain items from the shelves. Facebook has just been the latest in them. As a result, you may log on to Facebook and find that your favorite reloading group is gone. At this point, all it takes is a bad post from someone who did not read the rules, or there do appear to be some people out there that are joining reloading groups and trying to get them shut down. So where do you go instead of Facebook? There's been a pop-up. It happened last time. It's kind of gaining traction of MeWe, M-E-W-E. It's a Facebook-like group. I don't like the format of it that much. It's too clunky, and I'm not a big fan of the whole, I don't like the whole look and feel behind the social media. Facebook's about the only one that I do, and I really only do that because a lot of more friends and family kind of stuff, and then previously it was one of the best places to find stuff on sale. I still like going back to the forums. There's a lot of really great reloading forums out there. There's a lot of really great outdoors forums that may have a reloading section. Cast Bullets forum is great, not just for casting, but also for general reloading. Graybeard Outdoors is another good resource. Locally here in Georgia, we've got the Outdoors Trader, which, I mean, the information there isn't specific to just Georgia. If you're looking into the Wildcats, you've got the Mad Dog Weapon System Reloading Forum. If you're on the AR platform, you've got the 6.8 forums. There's a lot of forums out there, and I think that forums are really a better way to convey this type of information. They do a much better job of preserving and indexing the information into a searchable format. With Facebook, after a couple weeks, trying to find anything on there is very, very difficult. Whereas on forums, it's, you know, even the most active forums I'm on for different things, it's very easy to search back and find data that might have been posted 5 or 6 years ago. Downside to forums is you do have to register for them. It is something else to check. They aren't the greatest on a cell phone. I like the Tap-a-Talk app. It works pretty well for me, but I know a lot of people really dislike it, and not all forums work with it. But that's the thing. If you're on Facebook and you're finding your home disappearing out from under you, I would really encourage you to get out there and sign up for some forums. The advantage that forums have is they are owned by typically a reloader. Their hosting for them is paid for, and some of them do occasionally ask for help on how to raise money for their hosting. But unlike Facebook, where everything's free, pretty much, so you're at their mercy. You're getting something for free from them. If they decide that they don't want to give it to you anymore, they can pull the rug out from under you. That's business. So if you go on a forum, you've got someone who's paying for the hosting. That paid host is a whole lot less likely to turn their hosting off from someone that they're getting paid by. If they do, it's also now a database format that I would think most large forums have more than enough common sense to have backups of their data that they can take to another web host, set their forum up. It may be down for a couple days, a couple weeks, but they'll be back. So I'd really encourage you to get out there on the forums. There's a lot of really good data. I see people all the time asking for stuff on Facebook that is all over forums everywhere that you look. So while Facebook does make certain things really easy, you know, posting pictures, super easy with Facebook. Asking a question without doing any research, super easy with Facebook. I don't think it's that great of a platform anyway. And while it does kind of suck to have them kind of kicking us off and saying, we don't want you around anymore, the flip of it is, I don't think it's the best thing out there. And I think that there are much, much better options already existing that we just need to move towards. If you are looking for more of the social media group, the MeWe does work. I'm going to get a site up over there. I'm getting it set up now, getting everything linked in. So, but, you know, it's kind of like the YouTube thing. Facebook's the 800-pound gorilla. If they decide that we're not welcome there, you know, it's kind of like getting kicked out of, you know, getting kicked off the bus. Yeah, there's other ways to get to school, but most of them aren't much fun, you know, when you consider walking or anything like that. So what we can do there is really, if Facebook, if reloading was your main reason to go on Facebook, stop going on Facebook. The only real way to send a message is to decrease market share. Facebook's a marketing company, so they get paid on the number of eyeballs that hit every ad. If your eyes stop hitting an ad, then in a very, very small amount, they stop getting that. If you're going on there and you're looking at stuff for no reason other than to waste time, they're making money off of you. So if you disagree with their politics, the best thing that you can do is just get off of there. Don't let them make any money off of you. If you do it, I doubt Mark Zuckerberg's going to turn around and go, oh, we should really do this. But if everyone who reloads did it, that'd be a sizable chunk. So that's news number two. News number three, on the good side, for those of you who have a lab radar, which if you remember back to my chronograph discussion, lab radar was my pick. It's what I ended up going with. I think it has a lot of distinct advantages. The main disadvantage that it's got is it's got a little bit hefty of a price tag on it. but it's the only thing at that price tag that can do rifles and pistols and not require walking down range to set it up. So that was my logic there. Look back, I think that was within the first 5 episodes I discussed that. So, big update for them. Their device has come with Bluetooth built into it ever since they were manufactured, but it didn't really do anything in the early versions. They now have released a LabRadar app. Unfortunately, right now it's only on Android, but they're working on the iOS app. I'm going to try, and I have a Kindle Fire, which, for those of you who aren't nerds, is a very inexpensive tablet. You can get one on sale for like $50 or $60 for a brand new tablet. The downside to it is that it does not work with the Google Play Store out of the box, but I'm going to try and port the app over to there, either via APK or something like that, to see if it works for those of you guys who have iPhones but are looking for something to get a bigger display. You do have to flash the device with a new firmware. I just went through that today, and I did the SD card method. Basically, I keep an SD card in the unit that remembers so that I can store all my data. That was one of my big reasons, is I wanted the data exportable. You take the SD card, put it in your computer, put a couple files on it, plug it into the device, turn it on, and it updates itself. I can't think of it being any simpler. I was really impressed on how slick that was. As far as connecting to it, I turned the device on, I opened the app, it shows you a list, I hit the refresh button, I saw my device there, or at least the one that I assumed was my device, because if someone else around me has one, I'd be absolutely amazed, given I'm in the middle of nowhere. I was able to immediately see my old data on those on the device. I was able to pull up a new shot string. I was able to look at the shot-by-shot data. It gave a little graph. I definitely think that there's some things that need to be worked on for it. I didn't see a great way to export the data. I think that that's going to stay something that stays on the SD card. But what I really liked about it is, for those of you who have used one, and I would say my biggest gripe about the LabRadar is the menu and button systems are extremely confusing. You have to be in a certain level of menu to create a new shot string. You have to hit arm at a certain time. You actually have to push the arm button twice. I've actually gotten so lost into the menus before on it that I've unplugged the battery, turned it off, and started all over. So the phone app fixes a lot of that. It seems that from any screen, you can create a new shot string. You can switch to another string very simply. There's a one-button arm. And that's another one that I see could be very, very beneficial. While it is something that stays on the reloading bench with you or right next to you, you know, pistol reloading, not a big deal. Reach over, hit the button, start shooting. Rifle reloading, I've had it before where I got really settled in, you know, got my breathing down, was just about to squeeze that trigger, and I look up and it's not armed. So I have to reach over and I have to hit the button, which is never where you can quite reach it. And then you're basically starting back over. In addition, if I'm shooting a string of something, let's say I'm shooting strings of 4, because, you know, I usually do between 3 and 5, you know, when I'm just experimenting. I'm shooting it out of an AR. If I'm shooting strings of 3 or 4, I can put 3 in, I can load it, then I can switch the string, or I can put 3 in and then 3 on top of them in the magazine, put 6 in there, shoot the 3, and then do the next shot. But I don't love having to set the rifle down, loaded, you know, mess with the machine, go back to it. With this, I can have my phone kind of right next to the stock where I can reach over and tap that arm button or tap that new series button and not really have to break my movement. I could even, I used to do this with my Caldwell because it worked with my phone, is I would put my phone basically underneath the rifle. So you've got the bag or the bipod or whatever holding the front end up, and I would put it under. And that way I could take my non-dominant hand down and just hit whatever buttons I needed and go right back to shooting. I didn't have to move myself. I didn't have to move my shoulder position. I was still lined up. I didn't really get out of whack at all. So based on that, I think that this app has immediate payback. I think that there's a few things that really need to be done. I'd like to see a way to name the shot strings within the app. I would prefer if that then shows up on the screen of the device, but at the very least, if I could just rename them. Because I really, you know, for such a technologically advanced device, I really hate having to keep a notepad around with me to write down Series 3 was 9mm, tight group, 147, blah, 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 grains. I think that that's a bit archaic. I would rather be able to type it on my phone and it save it to the device, or at the very least just save it on my phone so that I can look back and go, oh yeah, string 3 was that. You know, some really brilliant things would be if it had like an auto increment where I could say, start at string 2 and it is 47.1 grains and increment the grains by 0.2. So it would automatically create the next string and say, oh, 47.3, 47.5, 47.7, so on and so forth. I think that would be wonderful. I'm not saying that it needs to happen right away, but it'd be nice. Other minor things. Right now, it looks like it uses the MAC address of the device in the name. It's fine. I'd really like to be able to rename that. That's just me. You know, I haven't seen another one show up on the range at the same time I am there. So it's probably not a big idea. Not a big issue. But I could see at a crowded range, especially with the app, you could pull it up and see like 15 different available ones to connect to. It'd be really great if I could call it like Rick's Lab Radar, because I'm super creative at naming things. So, but that's really big news. That's really cool news. It really excited me when I saw that. And like I said, the firmware update went through no problem. The app installed great. It was easy to find in the Play Store. I look forward to getting out. I'm going to try and get out this week or this weekend and give it a good run for its money and see what it looks like. Maybe get some screenshots up there. I have been working on my little Lab Radar kit. It's just about done. I need to finish making the base plate. But I figured once that's done, I'm at the very least going to post some pictures up. I may do a video on it just to kind of walk people through how I set it up, the logic behind it. I basically wanted something that folded down into a nice, small, easily portable case. The case I chose was one of the MTM Ammo Crate brand cases. And I picked those just because they're readily available. They're really inexpensive at Cabela's. It's like 12 or 15 bucks for one of the cases. And I found that they're not as tough, they're not as waterproof as a Pelican case, but they're incredibly cheap compared to a Pelican case. And I very rarely needed the actual strength or waterproofness of a Pelican case. If I left this thing out overnight, I would not be worried about the contents as long as the lid was closed. If it bounces around in the back of my Jeep a little bit, I'm not that worried about it. I think it's a really good option for the money on strength versus cost. And it was a really good size. Plus, I use others of them. I've got one that's my long-range shooting kit, and it's got my bag in it. It's got, I don't even remember what all it's got at this point. But it's got my spotting scope. It's got that kind of stuff in it. So I've kind of started assembling everything around those cases. And that's something you can do with anything. You could use toolboxes. You could use whatever. But I like it when things all fit together, because I can just kind of grab, okay, I need this case, and this case. I can pick them all up at once. They all fit in the car. They all stack nicely. They don't roll around on each other. It looks decent. You know, if you get creative, you can paint them whatever, make them your own so that people can see whose it is. But I'll be going over that setup fairly soon here. Like I say, I finally got a bench plate, which I did it a little bit different. I didn't spend the $40 on a bench plate. I spent like $10 on a very hefty chunk of aluminum off eBay, and I picked a tripod with a head that can be removed. So I'll go through all of that. I think it's a pretty cool setup, pretty good way to do it without just running out and dropping a bunch of extra money. So that's what I've got for today. If you guys have any questions, if you guys have anything that you want me to follow up on, feel free to ask Facebook, Gmail, any of the various means. Like I said, I'm going to try and get up on MeWe. And while you're at it, please, if you haven't already, sign up on the Self-Defense Radio Network's the Facebook. There's a lot of other great podcasters out there that I'm working with now that cover a lot of different topics, and it's a great source to see a bunch of different things in one place. For now, keep it safe, have fun reloading.